Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad to be here with you for another hour of Sports Daily. Let's start the hour right here, off the top, with a Wichita Wind Surge giveaway. How about that? Here it is for you. Just get ready because it's a text contest. It's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Night at Equity Bank Park on Saturday, and you have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Wind Surge take on the Arkansas Travelers. Surge won yesterday in pretty exciting fashion. All you got to do to win is text the keyword towel, T-O-W-E-L, to the short code 20357 for a chance to win. You can enter this once per day. Message and data rates apply. It's towel to 20357 for this Saturday, 4:05 first pitch at Equity Bank Park. First 2,000 fans, by the way, receive a commemorative Wind Surge towel. You can visit kfhradio.com for more details. Good luck with that one, everybody. Speaking of baseball, Tommy, let's get into the Royals a little bit here. Against the Astros last night, 4-3 losers. You look up and down the lineup, everybody's pretty productive, right? Everybody's contributing, and then you look at Salvi and Vinny and their collective 0-for-8. Salvi in the series is 0-for-13 with 6 strikeouts. It is becoming a black hole in the middle of the lineup. And I love the players. I trust the players. Even at minimum, if they are just struggling at this very moment, and we're, you know, almost 50 games into the season here, they cannot continue to fail in critical spots with runners in scoring position. They can't. The Royals cannot afford to just let them work this out in the middle of the lineup when they're both struggling. They can't do it. I'm so concerned, not over the overall trajectory of the team, not over their ability to... The concern is that there are 3 other really good teams in the division, and these games that they're letting slip away that they shouldn't, when they're getting the kind of starting pitching they're getting, I'm so afraid it's going to come back to bite them. Just let these guys hit somewhere else. Do something a little bit different. Are we really expecting the starting pitching through 162 games to do what it's done right now? Because I think that's unreasonable and unfair to those guys. Like, at some point, when your guys are pitching like they're pitching right now, they have got to be able to win these games at a higher clip against good teams. I know they just won a whole bunch of them. I get that. But that, you know, they played a bunch of really bad teams in that stretch. They're not playing really bad teams anymore. And I'm concerned that they're going to find themselves in 4th place in this division, and now you're trying to chase down 3 other teams if that happens. I mean, they're right there with that being the reality.
Give a little bit of credit, though, to the starting pitching overall. Like, it's not
I love the starting pitching.
Here's my point.
The American League.
My point is, it's not an aberration. Like, you keep saying, can we really expect the starting pitching to pitch this way?
It is good, though.
They pitched so well a year ago all season and so far this year. This has not been a flash in the pan for the starting pitching. They've been one of the best rotations in Major League Baseball, dating all the way back to over a year ago to now. And so, yeah, I think we can expect the starting pitching to perform at a high level. Now, I don't know how high of a level that is. I don't know if we're talking about elite pitching or just really good pitching.
They're sitting sub three ERA right now. Second, now I think, and I've said this, and I believe it still, that if they stay healthy, top to bottom, this will be the best pitching staff in the American League. I still believe that. That's not what's in question. Are we really going to expect them to collectively, as a rotation, hold an ERA under three?
Yeah,
though?
Probably not. I mean, that's a little bit of a overcorrection, I think. But at the same time, I think that we can expect the pitching to consistently keep the Royals in games. So I think you can push that off to the side, and I think we've seen enough work, a big enough body of work at this point, enough examples that will tell us up and down that rotation, game in and game out. For the most part, the pitching staff, the rotation specifically, will do enough and should do enough to keep the Royals in games that they play, regardless of who the competition is. The games where we've seen them just get blown out and the starting pitching get beat up on, very, very, very rare. So I think that that's one thing. That's one piece of the puzzle. That's one conversation. But I don't disagree with you. Like, there are major concerns about the middle of that lineup. I'm not sure at this point. I'm more concerned about Vinny than I am about Salvi. And the reason why, I know Salvi's had a terrible series against the Astros, and he is searching right now. He's pressing right now. You can tell that. I don't think he is 100% healthy either. I think that probably plays a part in that also. But he's not playing well, but I'm less concerned about him because he's going through a slump right now, and I think he'll probably break his way out of it. We saw him do that not that long ago. I'm more concerned about Vinny, and I'm more concerned that there's not a set spot for him in the lineup right now, where, again, he's bouncing back and forth in a couple of different lineup positions. I want to see him be further down the lineup card and settle in there and try to find his way back, in as opposed to this one game in the third spot in the lineup and the next game in the sixth and back and forth. Like, put him further down in the lineup and let him work his way out of it.
Well, if for no other reason, to let a guy like Michael Garcia, like, ride out his hotter, ride out the heater.
Right.
So it's some interesting things on sustainability. I think the reason also we look at Vinny and have more concern, because I agree with you, is he doesn't play the position that blocks the phenom young player. And that's not fair to put that expectation on Cags. It's not fair.
Yeah, I don't even, that's not my reasoning why I'm more concerned about Vinny.
I think there's got to be, and I'm not saying CAG specifically, but he's a first baseman. There has to be more production out of first base. Is Vinny a guy that's going to hit 20 home runs a year with 80 RBI at first base? Because or is he a guy that's going to drive in 100
runs a year? I just don't
want,
and don't get me wrong, I love Jack Caglione, and he's going to be super exciting for the Royals, and I'm excited for him whenever that time comes for him to play for the big league team. I just don't want, every time the Royals struggle offensively, that the first conversation is Jack Caglione. Yeah, that's not fair for these guys to try to work out what's going on internally, for the first conversation to be, what's going on with Jack? What are we doing with Cags?
Well,
where's that? You know what I mean?
See, I don't think that's unfair, because I think he plays the position that's struggling. I think he's a power hitter, which they simply don't have right now. And I think the question of, is he ready to be on the big league roster, is very relevant.
But the Royals have shown us time in and time out that they are not going to rush him. So it's an exercise in futility. Like, we can sit here and talk about it every single day, every single game that Vinny Pasquantino goes 0-3, 0-4, whatever. We can talk about Cags, and he's fantastic in the minors. He's probably going to be really good for the Royals when he gets called up. But the Royals have shown us and proven to us they are not going to rush him. And so it's wishful thinking. At this point, it's wishful thinking, right?
I think the difference between his, because his track and Bobby Witt Jr.'s track are obviously similar, right? Kind of the same age. Cags was a college player, Bobby wasn't. But they let Bobby sit down in the minor leagues that full year before, but they weren't any good. That's the key. That's the difference. They're a World Series contender this year. They weren't any good. There was no reason to rush Bobby Witt Jr., right? Like, they didn't have they had no reason to rush him. There is potentially, or it's, again, it's too early, a reason to fast track Cags. It's because the big league roster needs help. Like, that's, so to me, that's the difference. But either way, so the starting pitching thing, the bullpen has also, Tommy, been, I think, let me look real quick. They've got the sixth best bullpen ERA in baseball. So let's think about this for just a second. A couple of things. Their starters are leading. They're right there, right? What did we say? Third. Their starters have thrown the most innings too. You know their starter record? They've thrown the most innings. They have the best ERA. And if I told you the bullpen also is one of the best in baseball, the starter's record is 500. With all those,
I believe that.
That is a flipping problem.
There have been plenty of no decisions. Number one, do you have that pulled up? Like, do you know how many no decisions there have been from the starters? Like, to me, that's a bigger story than even the win loss record for the starters.
Yeah,
because I would imagine. Like, I mean, we can do the quick math. Like during the break, I would imagine the no decisions have been there. Have been quite a few.
So that's why, like for me, like when I keep saying like, are we really going to sustain? Like, are we going to sustain that? And how
much longer? That's not a pitching stat.
It's an indictment on the offense. Like, they're not taking advantage of this incredible stretch that their starting pitching is giving them. And that back to what I actually fear is that when the dust on the season settles, we look back at that and we think, man, you remember how awesome they just. There were too many games where they couldn't, like yesterday was again, Framber Valdez in the middle game of that series was lights out. Yesterday, that dude was not lights out, right? They had way too many opportunities where they could have put the Astros away and they didn't do it.
Just really quick, rough math. I added it up really quick. I'm counting 13 no decisions.
That's insane.
So far,
not even 50 games into the season.
13 no decisions.
When they've been pitching that well. That's wild. That's wild. All right, we'll come back. More Sports Daily. Stick around.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Let's give away a little HTO. Got that sunshine out. Try out that iced tea. More than 26 flavors to choose from. We'll give you a free tea at either East Wichita, West Wichita, or Derby. And you can get your hands on one by texting the keyword T to 20357. Good luck. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. We'll get more into the schedule. I do want to continue our conversation, though. I think we were getting into some good stuff there with the Royals. So this pitching has been otherworldly. Maybe it's sustainable. I think it's sustainable. I don't know if it's sustainable at the same clip they're at now. But I do think it's sustainable. I think we're seeing, you know, what if we said what's more likely, the starters keep it up or the bullpen keeps it up? I think the answer there is the starters keep it up. And that's the other thing. Like, the bullpen's also been really good lately. They did win a bunch of games. It's not like they didn't take advantage. So I get they won a ton of games over a stretch. I think it's partly to do with they played a bunch of bad teams. And it's partly to do with they did what they needed to do with those games. I think the longer this goes, though, I don't think they have another stretch like that on the schedule this year. And almost all of the divisional games they play are going to be tough. I just don't want – I don't know what I want, because I don't know that there's an easy solution, right? There's not an easy solution. There's not a quick solution either. There's not a solution that's coming anytime soon. So that takes us back to the thing we talked a lot about yesterday and have sort of talked about today. So if there's not a quick and easy solution, what can you do? And to me, it's becoming more obvious every single day. You cannot have that black hole in the middle of your lineup. You either, because, you know, you can, and there's logic in this too. Like, it's only the 3-4 hitter one time you can guarantee in the game, because you never know how the line, but you've got them together. Just get them separated from each other. I don't care where they hit in the lineup, get them away from each other, because India and Witt and all, like, the bottom of the lineup's turning over. Like, there are too many opportunities that go squandered where you should have a crooked number inning and maybe you have one because, you know, somebody did their job and then you can't finish the job of putting a team away. That happens, it feels like, all the time, where you're like, all right, I'm happy they scored a run here, but they had the bases loaded and nobody out. Like, one run, or like, is that's what they keep running into. They just can't put these teams away. And the way they're pitching, that shouldn't be that hard to do.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, we talked about it in the last hour. I have no issue at all with separating Vinny and Salvi in the lineup. I am still a believer for right now. May change in short order, but for right now, I'm okay with Salvi still batting cleanup, because I think he'll break out of his slump. I hope he breaks out of his slump sooner rather than later, because it's been bad. I mean, like, I think we can both agree that it's been bad. I will.
And know that we're talking about, like, of non-Texas Rangers, right? This is my favorite player of all time. So please, nobody misunderstand, like, the level of respect I have for Salvador Perez.
But remember, just immediately preceding this slump, he was a doubles machine, and he was the main guy driving in runs for this team. So, like, I'm not willing yet to move him out of the cleanup hole. I'm willing to keep him there in that spot for now. Now, you know, if the slump continues, if it goes on, and they've got a really tough series on tap against the Cardinals at home this weekend. The Cardinals are one of the hotter teams in baseball right now, and they've kind of turned things around. You know, I think at that point I'll revisit it and I'll maybe change my mind on that. But for right now, I'm okay with keeping Salvi batting fourth. I want to see Vinny Pasquantino further down the lineup, and I want him to stay there for a period of time. I want to see him batting sixth or seventh, one of the two, get him a little bit of separation, at least one batter separating Salvi and Vinny. And I feel like a little bit lower down in the lineup, he can maybe have a little bit more of an opportunity to work his way back. And that's what I would love to see moving forward, at least for the next couple of series, to see how it goes. I don't have stats in front of me for this, but I would imagine, I know that, you know, when Vinny has batted sixth in the lineup, a little bit further down in the lineup, I feel like he's been at least slightly more productive. And I know it's a very small sample size. He hasn't, you know, had a ton of games where he's batted in that position, but I'd like to think that there's a little bit less pressure for him in that role right now. And I want to see him get his swag back a little bit. So I'm okay with having him further down in the lineup for right now.
Yeah, look, the problem for me with Salvi isn't, like, it's that he's pressing so visibly in his at bats. Like, it's not that, I mean, he looks lost. I mean, for Salvador,
I don't think he looks lost. I just think
for
that
Salvador
he's...
Perez, like, you know, for a Salvador Perez at bat, and he's always going to swing at a lot of pitches. He looks too easy to get out right now. And that's not normal. Now, I'm with you. If you can only move one, yes, move Vinny. But I also don't think there's any reason you can't move both. Like, if Quatrero really walked into his office and he said, "Hey, Sal, we're gonna bet you sixth today. We're gonna bet you fifth." What do you think?
No, I don't think that he's gonna have an issue with it at all. And
that's what I mean.
That's
like,
not a reason. Though? That's not a reason why you make the change, because he's your captain. He's your anchor. He's all of that. And we're not talking about him going on a really great offensive run a month ago or a month and a half ago. We're talking about like a week ago. Like, I mean, he was maybe a little bit further back than that, but like, it wasn't that long ago that he was really, really effective offensively. And he was one of the key catalysts that led the Royals to going what they do. They win 16 out of 18 or whatever it was. Like, he was a key contributor and a key reason why offensively that they were able to do that. And so I don't think, because he's had a couple bad series in a row back to back, and I know the Astros series was really bad, 0-13, 6 strikeouts, all of that, I don't think that we just do a knee jerk, like, move him out of the cleanup spot right now. I want to give it a little bit more time.
Yeah, and that's fine as long as you move Vinny, but you can't keep them both together.
Yeah, I want to move Vinny. I think you move Vinny. I think you keep, at least for now. Maybe we revisit it next week after the Cardinals series and they go on that road trip and they go out to the West Coast and all of that. But for right now, I think you move Vinny down in the lineup, and I think you keep Salvi at cleanup, and hopefully the separation will help. Hopefully Vinny's able to get things worked out a little bit lower down in the lineup, and Salvi can get things turned around too.
Yep, I don't disagree. I'm probably a little more prone to slide him somewhere else, but...
But if you slide him somewhere else, then you're
I just
then
don't think
you're
it
right,
hurts
then you're right back in that position of having them butted up against each other in the lineup again, right?
Well, like, no, because if I listen, I don't have a problem batting Vinny Pasquantino like in the 8 hole right now. It's not an indictment on either of the players, both of whom I like a great deal. It's an indictment on doing whatever you can to win these games. And right now, letting some other guys be in a position to drive in runs more consistently, I just think is the right way to go. I don't know how much time you have to let them work it out on the fly, because it's costing you games. And in some seasons, like, you can be cost games and it's not that big a deal. This happens to be a season where I think it's going to be a 4-horse race for probably 2 playoff spots. And these wins that are slipping through their fingers that they ought to be winning are going to matter at some point.
I've been very clear that until the offense starts costing the team games, I'm not going to get concerned. And now the offense is costing the team games. Like, that's happened a couple of different times now. And so, yeah, I would say my concern level is higher than it was a week ago, without a doubt. We've not seen them consistently do what we've needed them to do up and down the lineup. I think the only thing that I would be, I guess, okay with would be maybe moving Salvi to fifth in the lineup and maybe having Michael Garcia bat cleanup and, I don't know, a guy like Mark Canna batting third, something like that, maybe. But really, I think that that's kind of inconsequential. I don't think that really does a whole lot for you. So at that point, I'm not going to move Salvi further down than fifth. And if you're going to move him to fifth, then why move him at all at that point? So at this point for me, I'm cool with keeping him in the cleanup spot and having Vinny further down the lineup.
The only reason you'd move him to fifth is because you could slide up Waters to three and Garcia to four, or Canna to three and Garcia to four, or vice versa. That'd be the only reason. So, I mean, it could matter slightly, but yeah. We'll get more into this with Jalen Thompson. We'll pick his brain about it tomorrow. Let's get to some other things. We've got Tim Fitzgerald joining us next, our K-State insider. There's some college football seeding news that we can get Fitz's take on. I haven't even really looked into it because I just like that kind of thing.
There's some new news about what Missouri lawmakers are trying to do to keep the Chiefs and the Royals in the state. Like they're trying to do a last.
But we'll get into the college thing. We do need to get into the Missouri thing real quick. One other quick headline, and then we'll talk about the stadium news. I'll get into the college stuff with Fitz. Did you see? I saw this. I guess the Dolphins had to pull their schedule release because in it there was like a Miami of the Miami opponent. They had Tyreek Hill, like a Dolphin in a Hill jersey, being detained by police.
And that was like, actually from the Dolphins that did that themselves.
Yeah, I think so.
Yikes!
It's fine. Like what? What is? No, sorry, not the Dolphins. The Colts.
Okay.
Colts that out. Okay. Yeah. In their game against.
I was going to say that's rough. That would be rough if the Dolphins did that to their own players.
No. It was, but like, are we really that sensitive? Like, are we really like you there? Like, why does the Colts social media team need to be nice to Tyreek Hill? Like, come on. Like, if your design on these videos is to be funny, let them be funny. Don't be so sensitive. Goodness gracious. And if Tyreek Hill's offended, he should stop getting arrested. How about that? I don't know if he is or not, or where that, you know, that the reasoning that got taken down. All right, let's talk about this Missouri thing. You're right. We haven't hit on this. So Missouri's trying to cram through a last minute measure to keep the Chiefs and the Royals. I saw yesterday in a report from KCTV, there was a Missouri lawmaker's like, man, this really got crammed down our throats. But her point was, but we can't afford to lose them. So it's a little bit complicated. It sounds like on the state level, Missouri is trying to foot the bill for half, and then local municipalities would have to pick up the rest. But remember, through the STAR bond, Kansas as a state can cover 70%. So you're going to ask now local municipalities to cover 20% of a probably all be t- if you're doing two stadiums here, Tommy. Like we're talking probably by the price of stadiums now, $4-5 billion. You think a local municipality is going to pick up that?
Absolutely at 20%? Not. Absolutely not.
No.
And especially considering that the voters in the state have repeatedly told the lawmakers that they do not want to do this. They do not want to spend the money for this. And so this could very quickly, and I understand the priority for the lawmakers and they don't want to lose the teams and all of that. It could very quickly turn into lawmakers like trying to overturn the will of the people. And like that's wild. That would be wild.
$1 billion shortfall.
That would be wild.
That they would try to make up locally. $1 billion.
Now, by the way, the mayor of Kansas City, Quentin Lucas, who we all know has kind of led the charge to try to keep these teams in Kansas City and all of that. He has, within the last hour, he was on local radio in Kansas City talking about all of this. And his quote, a couple quotes here, he says that we're still in a good place with the Royals in Kansas City, Missouri. And then one of the other questions was about what location are we looking at in Kansas City, you know, potentially for the Royals. And he was asked about the Washington Square Park downtown location. And the mayor said, I think so. I'll be honest. Yes. As far as the Washington Square Park location being the downtown location that the Royals, you know, would potentially be at if they can come to an agreement.
Okay. Listen, I think it's going to be difficult to get voters to vote for a large sum of money that does not involve the Chiefs. The challenge they have now is if they get broken up, I think the appetite is going to be small for the Royals compared to the Chiefs. And that's the reality of things. I don't know what's inside the mind of the Chiefs and the Royals. If it's dollars and cents, I don't think Missouri's going to be able to match Kansas. So if that's the only thing that matters, and if it's the difference of $1 billion, I don't know where the motivations are with the Chiefs and the Royals. If they I would imagine that they would like to stay where they are, right? Say on the Missouri side. I would imagine that the Royals would like to move downtown and the Chiefs would like to build a new stadium, probably right where Arrowhead is, honestly. I think that's probably what they'd want. I don't know how they're going to do it. So to me, like if they choose to stay, the Chiefs and the Royals, it will be because of a desire from the Chiefs and Royals to stay. It won't be because they have the best package, because I don't think Missouri is going to be able to get that through. If they can get through without the will of the voters, 50% of it, and there's still the 20% shortfall. I don't know. I don't know what their law system, I don't know what their system of state government is like, if they can do that, if there are methods. But if it's only financial, I don't think Missouri is going to be able to match Kansas and what can be done through the star bond.
And I don't think also, and I'm not super well versed on Missouri politics and what their legislature, you know, how they're structured and all of that. I can't imagine that there is a overall huge appetite from lawmakers outside of the Kansas City Metro to pass a bill that would basically pay for a portion of this. Like, because remember, like their constituents have already voted this down. Things like this, I have a hard time thinking that a lot of these lawmakers are going to be on board with kind of like overturning or subverting what the people have voted for or voted against in that matter.
Well,
I don't know.
They know what the ramifications are. They know the lost jobs. They know there's a potential Super Bowl involved. I think they can think big picture enough.
They do, but the voters don't want it. The voters have proven they don't want it.
It's hard because the voters don't want the voters are savvy enough to know, like, I don't like dollars and cents for me individually. Like this is not the voters, Tommy. The voters don't have the will to do school bonds right now. Right? We've seen Wichita get voted down. We just saw Goddard voted down. Like there is not when the timing on this is terrible for not only those schools, but for, you know, Missouri lawmakers. When property taxes and these things are soaring the way that they are, like when you're telling me over the last 4 or 5 years, my property taxes have gone up and I think it's been 40%. And like that is just bludgeoning us in our mortgage payments and all of these things. To then turn around and be like, oh, and by the way, we also need, you know, a couple billion to build a sports stadium. It's like, nah, man, like I'll drive to Kansas and watch the Chiefs.
Well, and we need a couple billion to build the stadium. And all these voters have said multiple times with their votes, pay for it yourself. Like, hey, billionaire owners,
right, that's
pay
what
for
I'm
it
saying.
Yourself.
Like the timing on this is so bad for Missouri and so good for Kansas. Because of the star bond, right? The star bond is a method and a mechanism in place that should not have really any burden on state taxpayers. It is a use tax, right?
If it pays off, that the jury is still out on that, right? Like
that's always the risk. And some do and some don't. But I think like if you're talking about like the appetite for a taxpayer, there is a far, and it doesn't matter in Kansas because they don't need taxpayer, they don't need a vote on a star bond, but the appetite for a sales tax based idea, because we know just a regular tax is not going to pay off. Like there's no chance that pays off for the individual voter. What if you live in the county and you're not a Chiefs fan? Like that's not going to pay off for you. There's a 0% chance, right? A sales tax, there's a chance because it's a use tax, right? People that go up there and they watch it, they're going to use it. They're going to pay it. So financially, I don't think Missouri can match Kansas. That's the bottom line. So now we have to see what the Chiefs and the Royals are really thinking. Maybe they can. I don't know Missouri politics very well.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back into Sports Daily. We are joined now by our buddy Tim Fitzgerald, who is joining us. And Fitz, I just like, how are you enjoying the hotter summer weather? Is this, are you team summer or are you team not hot?
And team winter. I'm clearly team summer, but it got a little aggressively hot yesterday.
A little aggressive.
I don't appreciate that very much because we had the door or the windows and everything open. We hadn't had the air on yet. And boom. Yesterday I put the air on. I'm disappointed because it's not going off. I'm too soft. Once I acclimate to the air, it's not going back off.
I think about this all the time. Like when we're such sissies. Like, could you just if you only thought about like, what if you didn't have climate controlled indoors?
Yeah. I'd be dead.
We'd have never made it.
No.
We'd have never made it.
I'm pretty sure if the apocalypse comes and we don't have power or cell phones, I'm just going to go walk into the zombie herd. Because I can't handle that. I could
handle no phones over time. I wouldn't like it. Wouldn't be my preference. I could handle that. I don't think I could handle no climate control. I really like that's the one for me that I think we take for granted the most. Like my mother-in-law lives in Southern California, and it's gotten hotter there, and nobody has air conditioning because it never was. And I've been out there a few times where it's like 80, low 80s, right? And I'm telling you, you're just like, what? Like, what is happening? It's so hot in here. We're soft. That's
yeah. We are. There's no way around it, and I'm kind of proud of it.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me too much.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's Fitz. Before we talk K-State specifically, the news this week, yesterday mostly, is that there is a near consensus to alter the seeding process in the first round buys. I know this got a lot of run last year. It didn't move the needle for me that much. I think the bigger problem was how much time it took for the top seeds to play a game. I don't think it was that Oregon was misseeded or whatever. I think it's just like they had the disadvantage of waiting so dang long to play a game that they're, you know, the team that didn't have to do that had a clear advantage in that matchup.
No doubt.
But I guess it's probably going to spark change in how this works.
Well, you know, the controversy around this was never, for me at least, that if the Big 12 or ACC should get buys or, you know, it's always been about the money because apparently if you're in that second round, you get a much higher pay. And that's what it was really about. It would cut the conference's income if you didn't give them that automatic buy or access to it, whatever. I think it'd be good for the Big 12 to play that first round. It'd be great for Arizona State or someone to have a home game if they earn that and beat the crap out of someone on a national stage. I think that would be beneficial to the conference. Winning first-round games, whether they're on their home field or someone else's, would be huge for this conference before skipping all the way to the bye system. And look, I think we're going to end up at 16. So this will be moot in a year or two or whatever.
I think it's a reason we need to.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, you know, and we're only a year into it. We have to see more trends, but I would make this prediction pretty confidently that if the schedule doesn't change, like if they don't change the time in which they play the games or how much time they take off, it doesn't matter if they do straight seeding. It doesn't matter if they do conference champions. The top seeds will struggle in this format. You don't want to have to play the first game because you don't know if you'll win it. But I think over time, the teams that win that first game that then play the teams that get a bye, however that bye is determined, the teams that have the bye will struggle. I don't know if it's 50-50. I don't know what the percentage is, but it isn't going to be normal to what we see in sports through teams that earn a bye. It will be more because it's exactly. Just too much time between games.
And these aren't professionals. These are college kids, and you know they don't react the same way as a professional would and with an NFL bye. But to your point, they don't have that much time off either. You're talking about weeks of time off between games if you get a bye, and that doesn't make sense to me. But also, I don't want to see them go to 16 and totally axe the conference championship, you know, because that can hurt you, and go to, you know, playing your top four teams kind of play one against four. None of that makes sense to me. So basically what I'm saying, like the weather, I'm going to be unhappy no matter what we do here. I'm going to see fault in it because 16 is too many, but that's the only way you can satisfy the money lust of the SEC and Big Ten.
Fifth, 16 is not too many. 32 is not too many. NCAA, 64 is not too many. I don't think there is a too many.
For football, yeah.
I don't want there to be that many, but I don't know. We're not going to lose anything as fans of the sport by more teams getting in. If 16 logistically makes the most sense, then just make it 16. Like, it's not going to hurt a thing to do it if it makes more logistical sense to do 16. I sometimes think we overthink that stuff. Like, what harm is there to college basketball that the tournament is 68 teams now? What harm was done? There is none.
Well,
right?
Adding one more game in basketball is much different than adding one more game in football.
It is, but who loses in that? Like, who really loses in that scenario of four more teams, four more fan bases getting a chance to participate?
Well, no, I agree with that point. I do. I just think, we're going to end up, honest to God, we're going to end up with an 8-4 SEC team and 16 team field. They're going to make it happen. And I kind of hope they do, because it'll prove a point. If they catch a decent opponent from someone else, which they will, they're going to lose.
But isn't that a compelling storyline that would make you watch?
Yeah, I am with you on that 100%. When I say 16 is too many, I'm thinking about the wear and tear on student athletes that,
right. Along with that, I think there will be a pretty, once these court cases settle, I think, you know, bowl games, playoff games, I think they're just there's a compensation piece tied to that. There's going to be revenue share. So that part of it, like, we're only worried about the wear and tear on our Division I athletes and not on our a 1AA or our Division II, where they have 32 team playoffs, right? Like, it's only a concern for the best athletes, like the guys that probably handle it better, that aren't just farm kids out there just like running through a wall because they love football. I think we overthink it sometimes in Division I college football. Yeah. I do.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you. I mean, I think 8's the perfect number, but you can't, in a fair world, 8's the right number, but you can't do 8 because the Big Ten and SEC will want no guarantees for your champions, and they'll want three spots each. I mean,
that's right.
They're just not good partners. They're selfish and greedy and it's gross.
I'm in all of it. You have to maintain that conference champions of the four power leagues get in. And I hope that they maintain one other non-power team gets in. As long as I've said this from the beginning, I'm not going to complain as long as that component exists. Yeah. That's the only component that I think must be there. And I'll get frustrated if there are a bunch of teams from whatever. But as long as there's representation for every conference, I have to be satisfied, because it's what I've been pining for 20 years. And we have it now. So yep. I won't complain. So the seeding thing, either way, seeding thing, I don't really care. They can do whatever they want. Doesn't matter to me. All right, let's talk K-State a little bit. Fitz, it's quiet. It's kind of a quiet time.
Yeah, it is.
It's very quiet with college hoops, and that's because the chaos of the portal has settled in. It's a little louder for college football. KU has kind of made some headlines. Their class is coming together, and quite honestly, it's been really good. Some people put it inside the top 10 or 15 nationally. K-State didn't need to do that. So that's why I feel like that's kind of why it's been quiet, right? I mean, it's good. I'm very happy to see that for KU, but it's strange because K-State was never going to do that, right? They don't need to do that.
Yeah, it's how you spend your resources anymore. It's insanity what college football has become. Kansas is putting a lot of its resources towards this recruiting class. And I think in fairness to redefine the discussion around the state of Kansas about all most of the best players go to K-State, because that's not going to be true next year. K-State, meanwhile, is trying to stay away from bidding wars unless it's really someone like a Lincoln Cure, Avery Johnson, someone, you know, of and they're not going to have a big class next year. So they're kind of just looking around the horizon and doing a lot of out-of-state recruiting. And honestly, they've got everything on hold with commitments until they know about the house settlement for sure, where they're at financially and all of this. Because it's been impossible. You can't plan without this settlement being in place. You're just kind of going in the dark. And I think as soon as we get that, we're going to see a lot of commitments for K-State. Or not a lot. We're going to see commitments moving towards K-State.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's a quiet time. That's okay. What do you guys have going at Go Power Cat during the quiet times?
Yeah, it's quiet time too, but we're going to be tracking baseball. Baseball's got a huge series to close up Big 12 play starting tonight in Cincinnati. You absolutely have to take the series at the least. I think K-State's in the field right now for the NCAA tournament, but Cincinnati's one step behind them in the Big 12 standing, so there's something of meaning here, and Cincinnati's on the bubble. So this series has some context to it heading into the Big 12 tournament down in Arlington. And K-State, just don't screw it up at this point. You did the good work against West Virginia. You probably got yourself in the field solidly for now, but you're not so solid that you can't be back out.
College baseball has different vibe. It's cool. I'm glad to see K-State continuing to do well there. Go to gopowercat.com. If you're tracking that, or if you're ready to jump on that bandwagon as we get toward the College World Series, I think a lot of sports fans are that way, and that's perfectly fine. You'll find it. They're Fitz and his crew. You can follow him on X at Life of Fitz. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you. Good to hear from you.
Stay cool. Stay in the air conditioning. You never know when the zombies are coming and we're going to lose it.
100. 100.
It's going to be a bad day. There goes Tim Fitzgerald. That'll do it for us on Sports Daily. Our thanks to Tim Fitzgerald for stopping by. If you missed anything with Fitz, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. That gets podcasted out for us. I know a lot of you listen to the show that way. We really appreciate it. Lots of contests for you that you can go back and listen to the details on and enter through the text contest and things like that. Congratulations to our call-in contest winner. We've got Shocker Baseball coming up for you tonight. Regular programming before then. Tomorrow, Jalen Thompson will join the show as the Royals continue to try to figure it out offensively. But no Royals baseball tonight. Love Jalen tomorrow. For Tommy, for Max, I'm Jacob, we'll see you then.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America. Yeah.